This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Late night last night, the Broncos beat the Browns 41-32. Yes, it was an entertaining game. And you know who was there? Our friend Mary Kay Cabot from the Plain Dealer in Cleveland.com. Right now, she is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. It is Baskin and Phelps. Jake Volnick is in for Jeff today. Let's talk to Mary Kay. Hi, Mary Kay. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How you doing?
Tired? I think we're all a little tired today.
Yeah, I mean, I was up till, let me just say that I'm at the airport right now. And I probably slept for maybe 2.5 hours.
Oh, this is going to be fun. We got like 10 people here working on 2.5 hours of sleep.
So yeah, we might have 8 hours combined.
Oh, that's
true. We might have made a full night's sleep between the three of us.
So now we're healthy. Oh, Mary Kay, what did we learn last night? And educate me, will you please?
Well, I think one of the biggest things that we learned is that Jerry Jeudy is a bona fide number one receiver. And when he's in the right conditions, that he can excel and perform like that. And that's going to be amazing going forward for the Browns. You need a key piece like that. Now, they might need to add a couple of other receivers, but I really do think that they have their WR1, and that's just so huge for next year.
Mary Kay, do you think Jerry Jeudy clearly getting into the game a little bit, threw some gestures out there that sort of let me hear it a little bit louder? You think the big game, clearly you said wide receiver one, was it more than just a chip on the shoulder? Is that something that you're going to see from Jerry every night, or do you think this was just one that gave him a little bit of a kick in the rear?
Well, I think the chip on the shoulder is huge. We saw what it did for Miles the week before when he had the TJ Watt situation going into that game. So much of this game is mental. Everybody's at a very, very high level. But in order to get yourself over the top into a performance like that, sometimes you need to work yourself up into a frenzy. And that is probably never going to happen quite like that again for Jerry Jeudy, to have that moment in time where he just wants that revenge on the team that just didn't give him the respect that he felt that he deserved. So I think that had an absolute lot to do with it. But I also think that he showed what's in there, and there's plenty more of it.
Mary Kay, I want to go back to Jameis Winston here for a second. Just your thought. I mean, look, he threw for almost 500 yards. If you want to count the interceptions, he threw for 612, if you really want to be looking at it that way, and six touchdown passes between the two teams. But where are we with Jameis Winston?
Well, I assume he's going to start again, but just in terms of the future.
Yeah,
I think
beyond this year, yeah.
Yeah, I think people are just going a little too gaga and crazy over this. It just needs to be kept in perspective. And I know nobody wants to do that, but that's where it needs to be. The quarterback room hasn't shaken out yet. It's been fun. It's been entertaining. But that's the Jameis experience. You go out, you get a bunch of yards, you get some interceptions. Browns will have to figure out what they want to do for next season, what kind of quarterback they want to have. I've seen things just as I've been kind of getting through the airport here about, you know, everybody's like, oh, Jameis should be the starter again next year. I just think everybody needs to chill out on that a little bit and let this whole thing play out.
Chill out as far as maybe drafting a quarterback next year or the future of Deshaun. Is that where the chill out part of it has to come into it?
All of it. I think that they have to try to determine who's going to be the best quarterback for them to win games all next season and beyond that. And I don't know if they have that person in the building right now. We don't know if that person is going to be Deshaun, if he'll ever get another chance, or we don't know that yet. We don't know what the options will be for them to possibly move him or change things around in that way. But everyone wanted Joe Flacco last year to be the starter this year too, and the team isn't necessarily going to view it that way. So I think everyone needs to just exercise a little bit of patience and see where this thing is all going to go.
So I know you said obviously everyone needs to sort of chill out on it, but in terms of confidence with him going forward next year, does a game like this give you more confidence being that he threw for 497 yards or less being that he threw for 3 interceptions and 2 pick sixes?
I think probably about the same. You know, once again, this is what you're going to get. You're going to get those ups. You're going to get those downs. And in some respects, too, I'm sure that Denver is reevaluating how they covered Jerry Jeudy and how they defended that whole situation. Because when Patrick Surtain was on him, he only caught 2 passes for 20 yards. But they just did not do that all the time. And that's when he did his other damage. So there's a lot of factors that went into this, but to look at the 497 yards and say, oh, he's obviously the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns next year, I just think it's premature for that. It's exciting. It's fun. It wakes up people. It gets guys involved. But to christen him the starting quarterback because of that performance, I just think it's too soon for that.
I think the unsung story last night's game was Elijah Moore. I mean, you know, he ends up with 111 yards last night and, I mean, made some key catches throughout the night. I know it didn't get him a win, but he helped out that team. And for a team that struggled to get a receiver over 100 yards any time this year, I think that's kind of I want to say like a game ball situation, but it's just right. Yeah, I mean, what did you think of Elijah Moore last night?
I thought he did a great job. Yeah. It was fantastic. And again, that's one of the benefits of everything that's happening right now is the fact that you are building and developing confidence in some of the players that are going to be key players for you next season. We know that Judy's going to be that. We know that Elijah Moore is going to be that. So I think that is, that's the thing to look at. What key pieces do you have, and what are they building for next season? And remember, there are a lot of things going on, and I've said this many, many times before. No one wants to hear it, and I don't really care about that. But there are a lot of things going on for Jameis at this point in time that were not happening in the beginning of the season. First and foremost, a healthy and robust offensive line.
The run game obviously struggles to get going. Nick Chubb averaging under 3 yards a carry. Jerome Ford looking a little bit better, but obviously had the 21-yard run sprinkled in. Is it time to the point where we're starting to look for, like, maybe Nick Chubb comes back next year, but are you bringing in somebody maybe to be sort of the Aaron waiting there?
That's another situation that they're going to have to evaluate. They're going to have to look at it. His contract is up, and they'll have to decide if they are going to move forward with him. Because it's Nick Chubb, you're always, always going to err on the side of bringing him back, having him finish his career here. That's what everybody's going to want. But it's definitely something that they're going to have to figure out. They're going to have to match up the money with the performance and the potential. I'm sure he's going to be better in his second year out of surgery than in the first year out of the surgery. So these are all things to evaluate after the season.
I thought it was interesting, and America, I'm sure you didn't hear it because it was on the broadcast last night, but Joe Buck and Troy Aikman seemed taken aback about the lack of time that Nick Chubb had, especially in the first half. It almost made me feel like that they had heard something in a production meeting that they thought that maybe Nick Chubb would see more action last night. Did you have that vibe? Like, I thought Nick played the kind of game that they expected him to play, that we've seen from him all season long. I was kind of shocked when I heard them say that at one point, but then I was like, well, maybe it was part of the game plan. Did you have any vibe that they were going to try to use Chubb a little bit more last night?
Well, I think we knew that they were going to try to run the ball, and it just so happened that they were keying in pretty well and handling Nick pretty well in that game, and Jerome was able to make some more hay. So, you know, you pivot, you adjust, you go with the hot hand. So, I don't think it was shocking or surprising. If someone isn't making the yards you need them to make at the clip you need them, then you have to shake it up a little bit.
Another missed field goal from Dustin Hopkins last night proved costly. I think fans probably feeling like the extension for Dustin Hopkins might have been jumping the gun a little bit after his performance this year. What's the feeling around him in the building?
Well, he's got to work out the kinks. He's got to figure out what's going on. And in the offseason, he's going to have to make sure that he's working on all of his technique and coming back strong. And has he, you know, fallen off a cliff, or can he get it back? And I think that's the same thing the Baltimore Ravens are sort of trying to figure out. They're even in a worse situation, I think, with Justin Tucker. So it's one of those things that will have to be reevaluated in the offseason, and certainly he's going to have to go back to whoever he works out with in the offseason to make sure he works on some things.
What does last night's offensive performance mean for Ken Dorsey? What does it mean for Kevin Stefanski? To me, it intrigues me to think, look what he does with these backup quarterbacks. Look what these guys are doing with these backup quarterbacks, and, you know, between last year and this year. And that doesn't, it makes me kind of think, I wonder what this offense is going to look like if they just have some patience, stick it out with this coaching staff. And, you know, we always talk about football being played on, you know, all three sides of the ball. Well, I think there's another side to it, coaching. And if you don't have the right players for the right coaches, you're looking for disaster there too. So what did last night's offensive performance mean for those two guys?
Well, Ken's doing a great job calling the game. He's doing a really, really good job. And I think it also begs the question, would things have changed at all had they made that change earlier in the season? That's a big variable going on right now as well. So I think Ken's doing a great job, and I think that these guys will give serious consideration to him calling the plays again next season. But again, some of it's going to depend on who is the quarterback going to be? What kind of quarterback are they going to have? What kind of offense are they going to run? So there will be a lot of reevaluation, a lot of after-action report, and I just don't think we have any of those answers yet.
Do you feel confident these guys are both coming back? I mean, because this thing could end on three wins. I mean, they've got a team they didn't beat in the Bengals, and then they've got the other teams are either in first or second place. I know the Dolphins are 5-7, but I mean, this is not an easy schedule, and they could end up just with three wins for the rest of the year. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but would that change things and make things go sideways for the guys that are in place right now?
You know, it seems like they're committed to the status quo and the moving forward with the alignment and the people that they have in place. That is the vibe that I'm getting. That is actually, things that I hear when I talk to people about all of this. So I don't see anyone being on the hot seat right now, and I don't know that anything that happens in these next five games is going to change that. It's been a season of a lot of upheaval and extenuating circumstances, and I think that Jimmy would at least like to try to exercise patience on all of this.
Gotcha. Mary Kay, thank you. Please have a safe flight, and we'll see you when you get home.
Thanks, Mary Kay.
Sounds good.
All right,
thanks,
bye, Mary Kay. Mary Kay Cabot, plaindealercleveland.com. Make sure you're reading her every day. And, of course, she was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline.
Browns will have to figure out what they want to do for next season, what kind of quarterback they want to have. I've seen things just as I've been kind of getting through the airport here about, you know, everybody's like, oh, Jameis should be the starter again next year. I just think everybody needs to chill out on that a little bit and let this whole thing play out.
Well, if you were excited about it from last night, if you thought, yeah, look, Jameis Winston's the man. I mean, look, came out the first half. He was 18-31 for 245, two touchdowns in the first half. And then when it was all said and done, 34-58 for 497, four touchdowns, but three interceptions. It is a Browns Therapy Tuesday. Get it off your chest. I know we got a lot of folks that are hanging on the line and they want to let us know how they feel about last night's game, and we want to hear what they have to say, especially when you take into consideration Jake Volnick, who's in for Jeff today, what Mary Kay just said right there. Chill, people. Chill. He may not be the answer that you're looking for as the backup or the starting quarterback next year.
Is it bad to say that she's not wrong? Like, I don't know that I walk away from that game watching him throw three interceptions and two of them being pick sixes. Again, Jaquan McMillan's was probably, like, it was a good defensive play at the end of the day. I even think
it was a great defensive play.
Like, I even think Nick Bonita's was a pretty good defensive play. Like, a little bit more of a risky throw by Jameis on that one and a little off target, but even that, he shot the gap. But you can't hand away 14 points to the other team, and then the one chance you have at the end of the game to sort of, like, I looked at Jeff in the back because we were both here last night, and I was like, it was 3 minutes left, and I go, it kind of determines, like, this is what you get, right?
Right.
This is sort of what tells the game. What Jameis do you get with the game on the line? And right after the 2 minute warning, he throws a pick six.
Yeah.
Do you trust him in late game scenarios? Like, to me, it's
what I trust him to get
year?
Me to the red zone.
Right.
But I don't know that I trust him to get me into the end zone.
What do you do with him next year? What is your goal for next year for the Browns and bringing him back? Like, he's played close to 500 football at this point, or you think he could get you to 500 football? Is that what you're shooting for? Do you want 500 football next year?
I don't know, but don't you think this is what they were thinking with Baker Mayfield, too? That Baker Mayfield was even though, and like I said it before, they were, you know, 3 yards away from the AFC Championship against Kansas City a couple years ago. They clearly thought that Baker wasn't going to get them to the next level. They were trying to upgrade, and I mean, I don't really want to go back to that right now. Plus, the whole flag planting thing that he talked about the other day too. I really am kind of not feeling the Baker vibe right now. All right, let's go. Let's go to Ryan in Southwest Ohio. Hi, Ryan. Where are you?
What's going on, Ryan?
How are you?
Hey, is this the office I step into for Browns Therapy Tuesday?
Ah, yes, it is. Please come on in. Have a fake prescription. You're good. Go.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Phil, Dr. Oz. I mean, Andy and Jake. I just want to say, man. You know, I love sports, NFL, everything. I just am trying my darndest to let it get to my day, my week, my month, my year. If you're an Ohio State fan, it's just the woo. We just got punched in the belly this week, weekend in particular as well, obviously last night. Man, again, you know, when it comes to the Browns in particular, Jameis Winston is truly, he showed the epitome of what he is. He is that individual that literally swings for the fences, strikes out or hits home runs, hypothetically, in baseball. Ironically, he played baseball, but that's who he was. And as a quarterback, that's who he is. Not saying he's ill-minded where he doesn't read defenses. He's very intelligent. At the same time, he just wings that ball around so much. And again, he is that guy that can get you into the playoffs, but he's also the guy that will pull a Flacco like last year versus the Texans and throw pick sixes, ironically, like he did last night. So moving forward, again, we have a lot to address, man. And number one, the numero uno is that quarterback circumstance. And, I mean, my hands are up because I've seen everything play out. I've seen everything work, and I think I've seen everything fail. And, again, it's the eye of the beholder. I'm hoping our GM, ownership, the office can figure this thing out. Because, again, we have a nucleus, and, again, blowing it up is not the right answer. We're going to get a high draft pick. I know this stinks. We're supposed to be talking about the playoffs. With that being said, gentlemen, I don't think Jameis is the answer as well, nor do I think DTR, watching him blossom in Vegas and obviously UCLA. He's a third stringer, man, second stringer at best. Like him personally, but he's not the guy. They're probably going to test the waters in him the following three final games. Anyway, I digress. The quarterback is first and foremost. What do we do? What options are out there on the table? And that'll get us moving forward. And really, I hope this thing gets corrected. But anyway, y'all.
Gotcha, Ryan. Thank you.
And Andy, thanks for taking my call.
All right. Thanks, Ryan. Lot to say.
Yeah.
Because it's Bronze Therapy Tuesday. That's why. Say what you want. We want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah. We're here.
But we do. Is this therapeutic for you? Sometimes it's therapeutic for me.
Yeah, I feel like it's sometimes everyone else gets let out and I just get to sit back and it's good to feel what the fans feel all the time. You know, just like what is on everybody else's mind.
I don't know. It's that whole post-game feeling. You know, whether you win or you lose, you want to make sure that either your thoughts on a game are backed up by somebody else, or maybe you figure out, maybe I'm totally wrong. Because you want to hear if someone else saw what you saw. I think that's, I don't know, that's why I always think, you know, having these post-game conversations are good, they're healthy, they're beneficial, right? Organic. Yeah. I don't know what I'm saying. 216-474-0092, 216-474-0092, Browns Therapy Tuesday. Steven is in Wycliffe. Hi, Steven. Steven. Hello, Steven.
Maybe not.
Steven. Goodbye. Jonathan is in Parma. Hi, Jonathan. Oh, boy. Baskin and Phelps, Jake Volnick's in today. Jeff is off. I was listening to him do the post-game show last night till, like, what, two? You were here last night all the way through?
Yeah, no, I was plus a little bit.
What were the callers like last night? I always ask Jeff that when we, because I was, sometimes they're mean, sometimes they're happy. I heard Jeff a little bit on my way home last night. Somebody was just, I don't know if they were laying in an Njoku or not, but I mean, the phone call was just wrong. And Jeff just laid into him.
I did hear that one.
Yeah, that was evil Jeff Phelps last night.
Yeah, he got mad because the guy was upset about David Njoku's going to want to leave, and then he was mad, and Jeff asked him how many targets he had, and he guessed, what, 3, 4? And he goes, 17.
Yeah, he said, was the guy upset about the number of times they went to him or they didn't go to him enough? Is that what he was trying to say?
I think he was upset with the number of times they went to Judy and just that they were sort of poignant as a big Jerry Jeudy game as a whole, and that was sort of the main takeaway from it.
Oh, yeah, but that's right. I remember he said something about, you guys are just on a love fest with Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah.
No. And it was just funny because, you know, Jeff, like, the only way you can really aggravate Jeff, this is a little behind the curtains, is if you tell him, if you say you said when he didn't say it. Oh, he's a bear. Man, yeah. You don't want to mess with that Jeff Phelps. I'm just telling you.
If you say you said or I heard you say, you better hope that you write it down. Write it down when Jeff says it, because you better be able to pull it word for word, because he'll remember.
So there were some things you caught during the game while you were listening to the broadcast. You were bringing that up, and yeah. We've got some of those cuts.
Troy Aikman was, I don't know. I feel like most of the time, like, the national broadcasters sort of tiptoe around things, and they don't get so much into like the weeds of like the whole Deshaun Watson conversation and going into Jameis Winston, and it wouldn't hit it hard. Troy Aikman was just kind of firing off, like, I mean, calling Deshaun an albatross. Like, listen, this is Troy Aikman basically on the idea of Jameis Winston was going earlier.
I go back to it. It just can't help but wonder what this year might have looked like for Cleveland if Jameis had taken over from the start, or at least much sooner than when he did. I know Deshaun Watson goes down with a torn Achilles, but it had been a real struggle offensively watching him.
And that audio courtesy of ESPN, obviously, Monday Night Football.
Yeah. What do you think of that, albatross?
I mean, I don't know. It's such a, like, yes, I mean, he's correct. I just feel like putting it on the national broadcast, like, You talked earlier about sort of with the Nick Chubb thing. Did they hear something in a production meeting?
Yeah.
Albatross feels like one that's something you sort of hear in a production meeting. I feel like you don't pull that one out.
He's pretty smart with the game, though. I think he's not the only one across. I mean, I'm sure when we talk to Greg Williams, we talk to Jason, especially Jason Lockenfora, he'll tell you that's probably dead on. I'm sure Lockenfora will say that.
Yeah. I just feel like Aikman sort of hammering it home is
I thought Aikman was really good last night. You know, there were scenarios where, you know, he was talking about what Denver needed to do in that situation and what a great big play that, you know, and I, like, most times I'm like, oh, they want this to happen or not. I think they were pleasantly surprised at, from a national broadcast standpoint, of how entertaining the game was last night. And, you know, the emergence of Bo Nix, which we really haven't talked a lot about, and yep, what he's done for Denver, and I think they were genuinely surprised, like we were, about how bad Denver's defense was, despite having two pick six,
well,
right?
Yeah. I think the entertainment of that game just surprised everyone in general, right? I don't think anybody's shied away from saying that we all probably thought that Monday night game was getting flexed to some time else, probably yes, the Sunday afternoon slate. Like, as soon as the season sort of fell apart, you look deep in the schedule, you go, Monday night football against the Broncos? Not happening. And walking into this game, you're like, it could be ugly, but it was
entertaining.
They were going blow for blow basically the entire game, and then it just felt like the Browns were always a score behind and sort of never took the step to take the lead. It just felt like they were always playing from one step behind.
Well, I mean, they did. I mean, when they got up, what, 32-31 after, yeah, Nick Chubb's touchdown, you were like, hey, man, they got a chance to win this thing. But you wanted them to come back out and make a quick stop, and, you know, Lutz, they walk back down the field. Lutz gets the field goal. It's mind-boggling to me that they were even hesitating, that Sean Payton hesitated on the thought of even getting field. Get the lead, right? You can't go on fourth and one there.
No,
you
absolutely
can't.
Not.
And, you know, like, I'm watching the game last night. I'm like, if they go for fourth and one, they literally have no respect for the Browns at all as a football team. None. Because they're handing the Browns a victory at that point. Because when he, well, I'm closer to a victory. because when he kicked the field goal, it was only there was under 3 minutes to go in the game. And I'm like, wow, man, you really want to disrespect the Browns? Go for it here. Because now you're not only would you be walking away with no points, not only were you short timeouts at that point too, but you were also saying to the Browns, well, you know, we feel like we're going to get the ball back. No, don't worry about it. And by the way, your defense isn't going to stop us here.
Yeah, I almost feel like they got caught in a situation of, is that sort of the, like what happens? You obviously want to take the lead, but what is the scenarios that play out then? Because then the Browns, all they
have
to do.
You take the lead. I don't care where it is. I don't care if it's a two-point game or a one-point game. You've got to take the lead.
I think the thinking then is that your defense has been so bad, right? They've been getting torched that all the Browns have to do within 3 minutes is put it in field goal range, run out the clock, and get as deep as you can, sort of. And then the two-point lead really did nothing for you because all they had to do was get in field goal range, which they had done several times throughout the game with no problem.
Right.
So I guess that's sort of the second thought. But yeah, late in the game, I think you just take the points and trust your defense to come up with something, or trust that the Browns offense falters, moves too quick, Jameis throws an interception, something that just goes wrong because that's what's happened all season.
And Aikman had more to say too. Did he say something else?
Yeah, he hammered home the idea, Kevin Stefanski, a good coach, and harped on Deshaun Watson maybe a little bit more.
Kevin Stefanski is an outstanding football coach, and he's proven that. Two-time Coach of the Year. What he did to that group last year to get them in the postseason, they started four quarterbacks. They were decimated with injuries, and I get it. You know, this year hasn't been what people thought coming in, but the albatross is Deshaun Watson. If you go to Jameis Winston earlier in the year, does this look different? Because I would say the defensive struggles, in at least a small part, have had to do with how inept the offense has been moving the football. I think it's affected the defensive play as well.
And again, audio courtesy of ESPN. I think that's an interesting point. I've brought it up before. Like, clearly the offensive struggles, you can point to Deshaun Watson. The defensive struggles, can you also pin it there? Because then you also get a game last night against the Broncos where you don't record a sack.
Right.
You were getting gashed in the run game. I mean, Jaleel McLaughlin went from Notre Dame to Youngstown to owning the Browns very early in his NFL career. He looked incredible. Even Audric Estime, the Notre Dame running back, looked incredible. I've brought up the idea of sort of the defense, maybe the whole team just not being bought in with Watson as the quarterback, being put in bad spots throughout the year by the offense not moving the football. He points it there, but it's also hard to say that in a game where the defense felt like it was getting just torched the entire night.
And if you're in Berea today, what are you thinking? Like, what are you thinking? Are you thinking, okay, well, let's figure this out. Let's figure out how to bring Jameis back. But wait a minute. You know, he threw three interceptions. And, you know, in clutch time, despite the fact that they still would have had to get the ball back again, he threw another pick.
I think you're thinking, what are your other options? What other options do you have? Right? I'm not sold on Jameis Winston, but I look around and I think, is there something better that you can afford? Right? Money is an option. Money is a factor here. It's not like they can go sign, even if you like Sam Darnold, he's going to be too expensive. You're hoping Jameis Winston isn't too expensive at the end of the year, because I'm sure other teams are going to give him a look.
And he had said last week, you know, he'd hope that, you know, he could be a part of this down the road. If I'm Jameis Winston, I'm not signing anything. I'm not signing anything right now. Why would you?
No. Absolutely. Like,
unless you feel like you're here. And by the way, you could be walking right back into the same situation you were in this year. If they decide they want to go back to Deshaun, he's going to end up being the number two.
Yeah, and that's a legitimate possibility. I mean, we talked quarterback competition, right? Competition leaves it open-ended that Deshaun could win the job. And at the beginning of this year, I think we all look around and say, there's no way Deshaun won that job, and that we truly believe they were going out and saying, it gives you the best chance to win every week. Clearly, that wasn't the case. Jameis would have given you a better chance to win. What's stopping them from doing that again next year?
I think we knew that early on, too. That was because, you know, everyone had high hopes going into this year. You essentially brought back your starting 22.
Yeah, it didn't change. And then everybody was the same.
Yeah, but then the offensive line started getting banged up, and then you started having trouble.
It's a banged up offensive line playing in this game. Mary Kay pointed out it's healthier than it's been. You still had Jermaine Ifedi playing left tackle.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. The other part of the scenario here, too, is that missed field goal in the beginning of the game haunted them.
Yeah, that was
They're stuck, though. I don't think they're Dustin Hopkins is here. He got a new contract. He's here. He's got to figure it out.
The Browns do this thing where they just like to pay guys early, and sort of try to get ahead of the ball. And like with Jerry Jeudy, it's looking like it works really well right now. Like that contract looks like a steal if he's going to go out there and put up, what, 200-plus yard games within 3 weeks. And he's averaging now, I'm sure, over 100 yards a game over the time that Jameis has been playing. Like that contract is dirt cheap compared to what he would have costed at the end of the year putting up this. But then one like Dustin Hopkins you look at and think, well, that guy, he had one good season. The Chargers let him go for a reason. He was in a kicking competition with Cameron Dicker, and he lost the competition, and he just sort of got gifted to you. He had one good year, and you just decided, all right, hand him the bag. He might have pulled the trigger a little bit early on a guy
who was good on 50-plus. All of a sudden, things have just kind of turned on him.
I'm from all ranges, too. Like, he's missed, what, a 34? I think it was the Saints game where he missed the three. It was a 34, one even closer than that. Like, and he's missed from 40, he's missed from 50. He's been, I mean, bad. Like, he's been a bad kicker this year.
I think it was 28.
27, 28, something yes. Around there, yeah. Like, that's a gimme. The only kicker I've seen miss those, other than that, this year has been, like, Jaden Fielding.
I was waiting for that coming.
That's been the
I
only
was
other
waiting
guy.
For that. Wait, are you trying to say if he would have made those two field goals against Michigan, it would have been different?
Yes. It would have been different. Maybe should have never been put in the opportunity to kick them. But
now you're depressing me. On a Browns Therapy Tuesday, now I'm feeling a depressing part of it. We do enjoy giving you the opportunity to get it off your chest, and we'll be doing that all day long. 216-474-0092. Again, primarily your thoughts, but how do the Browns get better, and what's the goal? I want to talk about that when we return. But what I really want to do is talk to Greg Williams. Come get some. Former Browns coach joins us next right here. Baskin and Phelps with Jake Vollmer.